See what the Lord has for us. I've got three portions of Scripture. They're real short. And then we'll get into what the Lord has for us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, whatever you want to do today. Amen. The Lord's not through. He wants to do in our hearts. If you've come today and you haven't really got everything you need today, I'm telling you, the day is not over. So let's see how He speaks to us today. All right, our first portion of reading from the Scripture is from Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 9 and then verse 15, 16, and 17. This is from the King James. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then let's skip down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, speaking of Adam, and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then over in Isaiah, middle of the book, this is Isaiah 1, or middle of the Bible, Isaiah 1 and 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Then one last portion of Scripture, all the way to Revelations, chapter 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Speaking of the New Jerusalem. The title of my message this morning is Obedience, the Gateway to Transformation. Wow. Obedience, the gateway to transformation. Let me just begin by asking, have you ever got tangled up in a spider's web? It's usually not a pleasant experience. Yeah. What do you do when that happens? Immediately you put your hands up to try to get it out of your face, just like Linda was showing us here. And then you do your best to make sure that you don't have any dead bugs on you that was in there. And then finally you want to make sure that you didn't pick up a passenger that can bite you. Speaking of that spider. After all, no one wants to go around the rest of the day feeling like a spider's been crawling around on your skin. And just talking about it, I'm starting to itch this morning. So, how many know spiders are interesting little creatures? And their ability then to spin webs and catch their food is really, it's amazing. There's even something beautiful, and I know you've probably seen this, about seeing a spider's web with some dew hanging on it early in the morning. And that is as long as it doesn't end up on your face. You know, I don't know if you've gone hunting or fishing and early morning after you camp, you get up going through the woods or going through the bushes to the lake, and here you come right into the middle of a spider web. And all I can think of is that big old orange spider about that big around somewhere running around there. It's interesting to understand how a spider weaves its web. It says that descending from the top by this thread that it produces, the spider constructs a web that is perfect and it is tight at every corner. Once the spider's work then is finished, the center thread used to construct the web is not removed, but it remains in place. In fact, that center thread is what holds together all of the spider's weaving without it ever collapsing, without everything else collapsing around it. If one of those, what you call the lateral or the sideways threads, break, it tells us that the spider rushes quickly to repair the web. But if that center thread from on high is broken, then the spider moves on because nothing more can be done to that web. Of all the different threads in a spider's web, the center line or that center thread is the one that is essential. It is absolutely fundamental. Everything hinges on that one center thread then that begins and sustains the whole web. In our passage this morning, there is a presence of a clear and distinct center thread, a thread that holds everything together for us as the followers of Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of God as a whole. If you noticed, one of those passages of Scripture appear in Genesis, the very first book of God's Word, and then in Revelations, the last of God's Word, and then, of course, the one we read in the middle in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. They all deal then with a fundamental thread that runs throughout God's Word that brings us a thread of obedience, we could call it. There's nothing more important then than this central thread or this theme of obedience. Understand with me then that obedience is a foundation from the very creation. And obedience, it has faith. Its foundation is from faith and humility and love. And obedience is the foundation of listening. Obedience is a foundation that then supports and sustains all of those different strands, the humility and the faith and the love. And in the life and existence then of humankind, to obey is the one necessary thing. Obedience. Everybody say obedience. It is such a simple yet compound word. It is such a plain and yet multifaceted idea. Scientists and medical doctors and psychologists and sociologists, even military officers and theologians all tell us that in some form or fashion, obedience is necessary. It's necessary for the physical body where all organs must work together towards a set direction in order to sustain a healthy life. It is necessary then for an army to learn and practice obedience to be successful on and off the battlefield. So again, it is necessary for us as believers, if we want to live then both an abundant life here on this earth and in heaven to come. And yet the Bible and history itself are full of stories that tell us that more than once we as humans have had a most difficult time in the area of obedience. We've had issues in obeying our parents and with the people in authority over us and with the laws of the land, especially then obeying the Lord God Almighty. From Adam to Noah, to Abraham to Ruth, to David to Esther, even to Mary, the mother of Jesus, we see there a checkerboard history, is what we could call it, of obedience to disobedience, to repentance, then again to obedience, and then to rebellion, then to confession, and thankfully again, once back to obedience. And yes, the virtue of obedience has fallen on hard times in recent years. Today, there are as many articles written that promote the virtue of disobedience as they are that promote the virtue and the need for obedience. There exists now this general attitude in today's culture that one must always stand up for oneself and never allow anyone or anything to tell them what to do or how to think or even what to say. An attitude that says that no one should be able to tell another person or have the right to tell another person what to do or even what to consider what is right or wrong. We live in what some people then call or have labeled that as the age of disobedience and rebellion. And to a great many people, the concept then of obedience is not seen in a positive light. One of the most common misconceptions is that obedience automatically means surrendering all of one's responsibilities and becoming some mindless lump of flesh that has joined a cult. And it does not help then that our American culture tends to idolize the rebel, the person who goes against the grain, and who even refuses to submit to authority, where they are now criminalizing the victim and they are rewarding the perpetrator by letting them roam free. It's terrible when the police work hard to arrest someone, even for theft and for murder. And immediately, the woke now authorities in the DA's office across the country, and they've all been put there for particular reasons, they let them immediately go free with no bond. It's happening all across our country. So with all of that in the mix, I would like for us this morning to take a few moments and look at this idea called obedience. Especially now how it relates to us today and the Lord Himself. Simply because I believe that the more we understand then the value and the importance of living out a life of obedience in Christ, the more then, Brandon, we're going to become genuine human beings reflecting God's glory. And the more then we will be living an abundant and blessed life as we walk in obedience to God's Word. Yes, past obedience may provide us a wonderful foundation and a platform to build on. Future obedience may provide us a wonderful goal and a target to aim for. But the reality is, obedience lives in the present. Obedience is a today word. Obedience is here, is a here and a now word. For example, in the Bible, we have that where we see or we have read at the beginning of King Saul's life. Remember, he was the first king of Israel. He knew how to obey. And for years, he practiced obedience. When God told him to go to battle, he went to battle. When God told him to stay home, he stayed home. He lived in the present a life of obedience. But one day, something happened that changed all of that. We read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 13, where Saul had been given specific instructions by the Lord. He was to go to battle and trust God's will. He was to obey without question. However, we find that Saul refused. He disobeyed. And he decided in that moment that he would not listen to God. He would do his own thing. He would decide what was best for him, and what was best for him was to disobey God and then to do his own thing, to do his own human will. And the Bible tells us clearly that things did not end well for Saul. Disobedience radically changed his life and the lives of his children and his grandchildren. living a life of disobedience, remove then God's anointing and His protection from the life of Saul. Living a life of disobedience caused him then to reject repentance and to reject God's mercy and God's grace and even God's love. King Saul had many moments then in which he had to decide whether to listen and obey God or rebel. In fact, we all do. Those moments come many times in our lifetime. They come a lot of times while we're reading God's Word, and also during our prayer times, and when we are faced then with tough situations and then having to make important decisions. We're all faced with all kinds of questions. Do we really believe God is sovereign in that we are to obey Him above all things? You see, if we don't believe that the God of creation is sovereign, then we will not obey Him or His Word. It's just that simple. Do we do what the Bible tells us to do? That is to say, do we actually believe the Bible is God's inspired Word? Do we believe then that God has spoken to us through His Word, or that He does speak to us through His Word, so that we might be able to be rescued and redeemed and restored into the very image of Jesus? Do we listen and then follow the leading of God's Spirit? Do we place our hands then in God's hands, trusting in His wisdom and His care concerning our lives? Or do we then choose to go our own way, thinking that we know what is best for us? I'll tell you that will get you in trouble real fast. Can you say amen? Amen. Do we choose to believe that we can follow the Lord and at the same time live a life in which we also practice a measure of rebellion or a measure of disobedience? Can we be 90% obedient and just 10% disobedient? Will that be okay? Oh, but Pastor, you know, it doesn't matter, Pastor, in the long run, because I'm sure God will grade on some kind of spiritual curve in the end. All I can say is don't be deceived. And I wouldn't place my money on that. Yes, we know that God is a good God, and He does judge, and He is just and correct the way He judges. And sometimes it's different than the way we would judge. And I've said this many a time, we're going to be surprised who's up in heaven and who's not there beside us. But one thing His Word tells us, that He will not be mocked. It doesn't help that we live today in what has been called that age of rebellion. It doesn't help that many of us may have been taught or have watched people be trained to embrace disobedience. You know, it seems it happen at times with young parents. Their children misbehave, and instead of there being any type of discipline or correction, there are only empty threats. And believe it or not, some of those empty threats are then followed with rewards for the bad behavior. We've all seen some child misbehave in a store aisle at Walmart or somewhere, only then to have that misbehavior reinforced with giving them some type of toy or new game or a candy bar or a gift just to get them to stop acting up and stop crying so loud out there in the store. And it may be that some young parents just don't understand what they are teaching. Because if we reward bad behavior, or we give a reward for a period of bad behavior, what we are doing is actually reinforcing bad behavior. Do you understand what I'm trying to say today?
We are saying that bad behavior brings results, and that is neither good for the child, for their future, nor for the world at large. At times, you see that same type then of stuff going on in the workplace. Someone bypasses the rules, and instead of there being some type of accountability, that same person may be honored even with a promotion. Now, how bad would that be? Their disobedience does not lead to correction. Instead, it leads to a bigger office, a bigger paycheck, and more responsibility. And it's that type of behavior that has led to the downfall of many people later on in their lives. They begin to feel that no matter what they do, that some way or the other, they're going to be rewarded. That bad behavior does not result in discipline or in accountability, but instead it's just another pathway to getting what you want. That while the rules may apply to some people, they don't apply to them. How sad is that? After all, their parents taught them this misconception. At times, society at large has taught them. However, the reality then is this. There are consequences when we rebel and when we disobey the Lord. And we have to realize that God takes obedience and disobedience very seriously. Disobedience to God always leads to sin, and sin always leads to chaos and confusion and destruction in our lives. Amen. God did not reward Adam and Eve with the tree of life after they disobeyed. God removed it from their sight, and He removed them then from the Garden of Eden. Disobedience did not lead them to experience paradise very long, but the very opposite. Disobedience then opened the door to sin, to suffering, death, and hell itself. Now let me reiterate this. Obedience is always a moment-by-moment experience. We cannot rest then on our own past record of obedience, nor on our own goal then of being obedient in the future. The only thing that we can do is to listen and obey right now, this moment. Everybody say, right now. The only way then to live obediently is to live obediently moment after moment after moment. The questions that we have to ask or focus on are not, have I obeyed or will I obey? But am I obeying? Here we go now. Am I right now doing my best to hear the Lord and to follow His leading right at this moment concerning my life? Am I doing my best to say yes to God's will and yes to God's way in the here and now, today? And am I then putting that into practice in my everyday life right now? And if we are not doing that, then guess what? We need to have a come to Jesus meeting with ourselves. Have you ever had a come to Jesus meeting with just Him and you? I know I have. Oh my gosh. I don't like those kind very often. I want to stay in good standing. Amen. The more we know, I'm so glad for His mercy. Every morning. Oh my gosh. The more we know someone and have a relationship with them, the more we find ourselves being comfortable to follow their leading. The more we know someone then and trust someone, the more we are able to surrender our will and be obedient to them. That was the way it was for Abraham. Abraham's life, you got to understand, was a life of faith that was walked out through obedience. It was a life of learning how to discover and obey God's will. It was not the life of a person who immediately did everything right every time. It was the life of a person who moment by moment revealed himself to the Lord as the Lord revealed himself to Abraham. It was through that growing relationship then that we see Abraham growing in obedience. The closer he got to the Lord, the more he trusted God. And the more he trusted God, the more he was obedient. Yeah. Our English word then, obedience, comes from a Latin word which means to listen well. The idea is that if we listen well, guess what? We're going to obey well. In many cultures, they are not two separate words, listening and obeying. There's only one word with the idea that to listen is to, therefore, obey. To not to listen is not to obey. The better we listen, guess what? The better we obey. And it is what is behind then the command of God to Israel. You remember you've read it maybe different times. Hear, O Israel. What's one of those? The Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel. Not just open your ears, but Israel, obey. Listen and obey. We're not to obey just for obedience sake, as if God needed someone to boss around. He doesn't need anybody to boss around. The Lord our God loves us, and He knows then that if we will follow His will, then guess what? We will experience the best life possible right here and right now in our concerning our lives. He created us that way, and He created us then to live a life of obedience. So understand with me this morning that obedience opens the door then to a multitude of blessings and favor. Now, Jaden, are you counting how many times I'm saying obedience today? She's got a calculator over there, and she's going on number 23 now. Okay. The Bible tells us that the prophet Daniel enjoyed this amazing relationship of obedience and favor with God. There was Moses and Joshua and Deborah and Mary also enjoyed this amazing relationship of obedience and favor with the Lord. Well, how did they do it? They listened, Sister Margaret, and they responded with obedience. They listened some more and immediately obeyed. These were real people who, as they listened and as they obeyed, they came to know the Lord better and better. And the more they knew God themselves and God's plan for their lives, the more they were able to obey and then to have faith and trust in God. Listen to me. So often the reason why we don't obey is sadly that we don't fully trust God. We know that we should because we know that is what the Bible tells us to do. But we apparently by our actions are not always sure that God has our best interests at heart. The more we trust someone, the better we can obey and follow their direction and their leadings. This is one of the reasons why Jesus had His disciples follow Him and go everywhere He went. Jesus wanted to do more than teach doctrine and theology. Jesus wanted to teach His disciples how to obey Him where they could live a victorious life. Jesus knew that a life of continual obedience is impossible without also a life of continued fellowship and learning and then the assimilation of that. They all go together. Jesus was teaching them that they could trust Him, they could put their faith in Him, and they would know that He had their best interests at heart. And one of the main reasons why Adam did not obey God was that the devil had convinced him and Eve that God was holding back on them. The devil convinced them that God did not have their best interests at heart and could not be trusted. The devil lied to them then and telling them that God did not want them to enjoy such a good life. And the devil then caused them to begin to doubt God and believe that they could disobey God and they could get away with it, that nothing bad would happen. Guess what? Sadly, they believed a lie. You got to understand, it took a while for Abraham to understand how to live a life close to the Lord in obedience. The truth is, it took Abraham about 40 years to get to the point where he put his whole faith in God. And it even took his grandson, Jacob, that much longer. The Bible reveals to us that it took Jacob about 80 to 90 years to learn how to trust God and to obey God. And thankfully, he lived a long time. And more thankfully, God did not give up on Jacob. And the good news is this morning is that God, thank goodness, does not give up on us. Whether we are quick learners or slow learners, the wonderful thing is our Heavenly Father works with us. And He will teach us how to be obedient people if we are willing. And that's why we've been given the Holy Spirit then to help us along the way. I'm so glad He is long-suffering. He puts up with us. He puts up with a lot dealing with especially me. How's that? The closer then that we walk with God, the more we trust Him. And the more we trust Him, the more we're going to obey Him. And you got to understand, it was that way with the disciples. The more they trusted Jesus, the more they opened themselves up, and the more they found themselves obeying God's perfect divine will for their lives. And this is one of the biggest reasons why so many have trouble, yes, in the area of stewardship. They mistakenly think that if they tithe, then they won't have enough resources for a rainy day. When we know the direct opposite is true. God tells us that if we are faithful in our stewardship, then He will meet our needs. Could anybody have a testimony of God meeting your need at one time or the other? We all have. God's people then had this similar problem throughout the Bible. But the closer they got to listening and to trusting and yes, to obeying the Lord, and the less they had that particular problem. They began to take the Lord at His word. They began to depend on God as their source of wisdom and knowledge and protection and safety and yes, salvation. And no, it's not easy to believe something point blank. It's not easy to obey someone or something that we are not familiar with. But the real amazing thing about the Lord is that the closer we get to the Lord, Brandon, the more we understand that we can trust Him and we can then obey Him. The closer we get to the Lord, the more we understand that the Creator of the universe has all kinds of blessings and anointings at His disposal for us. And this morning, let's understand that obedience will transform us. Obedience will change you from the inside out. Obedience to the Lord will make a radical difference in your life. We see this visually displayed in the lives of many military people. And Faye, you can correct me afterwards, okay? After 10 or 20, 30 years of obeying orders, being able to trust and believe in the Army way, the people become the Army way. Their whole mindset becomes the Army way. They enjoy the freedom that obedience brings to their lives. They enjoy the safety that it brings to their lives. And they enjoy the order that it brings into their lives. To have an unmade bed or to go around looking sloppy is no longer a part of their everyday routine or even their character. I don't know if you ever saw that video of that naval officer speaking to the group and talking about the very most important thing you could ever learn is to make your bed in the morning. Now, I'm not pointing at you. I've got four fingers pointing back at me, okay? I've got two kids at home, okay? They're four-legged ones, you know. And they don't keep my bed very straight, okay? They make their beds, they follow the rules, and they defend then the weak and the innocent. Day after day of obeying the rules and following orders has then transformed them into becoming the army in personalized form. Years ago, and I mean a long time ago, Brother Gary, Brother Gordon can understand this because they're pretty old themselves. When many of us were going to school, we understood what it meant to be transformed by daily acts of obedience. Amen? When the teacher told you to be quiet, you became quiet. When the teacher started class, you got out your paper and pencil and you started taking notes. When you dropped something on the floor, you picked it up and put it in the trash can. You did not speak back to the teacher, nor did you wander around without permission. We even stood for the Pledge of Allegiance that came over the loudspeaker every morning. We put our hands on our heart, and when the principal prayed the prayer, we bowed our heads. You learned how to walk in a line to lunch or to the playground, being respectful and obedient. It started off in the first grade or younger, and by the time you were in the second, third, and fourth grade, it was just natural. You didn't have to think about it anymore. Obedience in those areas was a given. You obeyed because that was the environment of the classroom back then, and the school. Oh, you got to understand, there were moments of disobedience and rebellion, but they never lasted long. For one, there was an authority that made sure the things stayed in order. It was called the Board of Education, applied to the seat of understanding. Yes, sweet little old me, I've had the Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding. I was bad. Secondly, you had learned that life is better and a plan with order, with discipline, and obedience. And all of this obedience affected other areas then of your life. You wouldn't think of running a stop sign or passing a car on a double yellow line. You wouldn't think of disrespecting a senior adult or cutting in line at a store. You wouldn't think of making a scene at the mall or yelling obscenities in public. All of that happened not because we lived in some fascist state or were overly concerned about some authoritarian legal system. It happened because from the moment we could remember, the culture of the day was to be a person of obedience to a decorum of decency and order. We were taught to be obedient to our parents. We were taught to be obedient to our teachers, to other adults, to those in authority over us, and to our commitments and values, and most important, being obedient to God. Living life that way transformed, I believe, our country and our society back then. It made certain areas of our country much like what we saw on shows like Mayberry and the Waltons. Listen, those shows were not so much fiction as they were mirrors of small town values and principles. And sadly, yes, we know that era is practically non-existent in today's America. Can you say amen? Today, many people think that such a life is a little too old-fashioned and quaint. But the reality is life was safer, life was kinder, and it was more compassionate. It was not perfect, but the more we as a people obeyed the Lord and the leadings of the Holy Spirit, the better life was then and can be for every person here today. So we find then, as believers, obedience does its best work in the spiritual realm. If you want to be more like Jesus, guess what? Then simply obey His Word. If you want to be more loving, then what? Obey His Word. If you want to live the best life here on earth today and be prepared in the future to come, then guess what? Obey the Word of the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord tells Israel that the key then to becoming His chosen people is through the doorway of obedience. As we made our way through the book of Deuteronomy reading it, did you notice that no other book uses the word obey more than Deuteronomy? What did it say at one place? Behold, I set before you today a blessing if you obey, and a curse if you do not obey. We're to understand then that obedience brings newness of life. It brings success, and it brings even great rewards. And as we read Deuteronomy 28, and as we read it again time to time, we see where God promised that if we obey, we will be the recipients of His favor and His blessings. These words are not my words this morning. If they were, you could easily reject them. But those words are from the mouth of the Almighty God, the God of creation. Those words are from the great I Am. It is He then who holds the galaxies in the palms of His hand. And that tells us that if we walk with Him down this path of obedience, that He will bless us beyond measure. It is He that tells us if we will be obedient to His will and to His Word and to the leading and the guiding of His Spirit, that we will be amazed then at the wonders and the miracles that He does around us, if not hourly, but on a daily basis. He'll do it. Look at somebody and say, He'll do it. This morning, yes, obedience can be a past statement, and it also can be a goal to aim for. But again, it needs to be a moment-by-moment experience. Obedience is first and foremost a now word, a now experience, a now event. Can I just tell you that obedience finds more power the closer we place ourselves to Almighty God? The better we know God, the closer we are to the Lord, the more obedient then we will be in this life and the life to come. Here we go now. Obedience will change us. Obedience will transform us, Brandon. And that's the word we're looking for in this message this morning. Obedience will open doors of favor and blessings that we so desperately need today. And this morning, as I'm closing, we have to ask ourselves some very personal and important questions. I love to ask questions. Brandon spoke so powerfully about commitment Wednesday night. Didn't he do an awesome job? It was beautiful. So, are we committed to do our best to obey the Lord? Are we committed to put all things into His hands? Come on down, Brother Galen. Are we committed to start or continue our walk down what we could certainly call a sweet path of obedience? Are we ready then to obey the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, our soul? Not as a testimony to the past, not as a goal for the future, but right now, right here, this morning. If we are then, I believe, and the Bible testifies, that the Lord will bless us beyond measure. And yes, we will experience a transformation in the process. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together. Worship the Lord with a hand clap. Absolutely. Thank you, mighty God. Why don't you make your way down, ministers, our ministry team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good, y'all. If we will what? Listen and obey. There's rewards for us. I'm telling you, He will prosper us in every area of our life. We will prosper in our health. We'll prosper in our finances. We'll prosper in relationships. Sure, we're going to have things that we stumble on. There's going to be mountains that pop up, things that are hard that we have to deal with. But I'm telling you, as we listen to His guidance and what He would have us do, one day He'll tell you, you don't need to go to work that direction. Why don't you go around the block, go another way today? Why don't you stop in today, get you something to eat real quick? And you do that. Why did He have you do something strange like that? Because you didn't know it, but down the road there was an accident. That if you had not obeyed and listened to that voice, it would have cost you. We read testimonies of 9/11. There was a pastor that worked in the one of the towers, and he got up that morning. And he normally takes his kids to school, goes right on to work, gets there early. The Lord told him, no, why don't you go be with them, have breakfast with them this morning before you take them to school. That was odd. But later he testified, if I had done what I normally do and had not listened to that still small voice, I would have been one of those in the towers that day. It pays for us to listen and obey. Amen. Amen. What about at the store? Lord, I really want that. I've got the money. No, why don't you hold off today? Oh, but Lord, I really want that for today. You know, I'm hungry for that. No. And you listen and obey and come to find out the next day it's half price. Aren't you glad you obeyed? Then you could go get it that next day. Amen. Amen. God cares about the smallest things in our life. Did you know that? He cares about the smallest details of our life. And all He's asking for us to love Him, hear Him, and obey what He has to say. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Today. The altar is open here. If you need prayer, support, whatever you're needing today, we will pray with you. Father, I thank you right now for this body of people. And I thank you that you are teaching us day by day. And you are leading us day by day. And so, Lord, I'm just asking God that you would renew that desire in our hearts to listen to you more than ever before. And as we listen, that we will be careful to obey what you have us do. I thank you today. I thank you that you have gathered this body together at this time for a particular purpose in this hour. It's not a coincidence that you've put us here at New Life for what you're wanting to do before your return, of what you're wanting to do in this community. You have set us here to be a light and a testimony of what you have done in our lives and can do if we'll simply listen and obey your voice. We have surrendered to you. We've given our life to you. And so, Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Spirit to lead us on a daily basis, to be aware of everything around us. You tell us to watch and pray, and we do that, and we can be aware. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you today. Lord, let your word go forth. Your word says, the Bible tells us that your word, when it is sent out, it does not return void, but it accomplishes what you send it out to do. So, Lord, I'm going to trust you this morning, and I'm going to thank you that your word today will do what it's sent out to do today, and that is to change our hearts, to make us more aware of our surroundings, to make us more aware of how we live our daily lives. I thank you today. I thank you for your promises, that they are yes and amen in our lives. I thank you today. I speak blessings over this body of strength and health and finance, every area of their life. I thank you today, Lord. Help us again, once again, Lord, as we go from this house, that this week will be special, that we, as we seek your face, as we read your word, that we will hear it, and that we will be obedient to what you have us do. I thank you now. And Lord, I bind the work of the enemy this week, that every ambushment, everything the enemy has set against us and in the families in this church, that they will come to naught, that every trick of the enemy, every work that the enemy tries will be brought down, and that he does that, and that you do that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and that as we come back here on Sunday, that we can tell of your goodness, tell of your wonder, tell of your mercies, tell of your of the testimonies of what you have done for our lives this very week. I thank you for miracles. I thank you for signs and wonders. I thank you for the checks that are in the mail for this body. We thank you today. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. We're right here to pray with you if you need prayer. Ha-da-ba-sh-